Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Fantasy Football Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today, bet $100, and get $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions apply. We're also brought to you by SGPN's Big Game Squares Contest, $1,000 prize pool, and it's completely free to enter. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/squares to enter today. We're also brought to you by SGPN's Big Game Bingo. It's a $57 SGPN gift card for every bingo hit. That's exclusively on the SGPN app. And welcome in to the Fantasy Football Podcast presented by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, the mothership. I'm your host, Justin Bruni. Joining me as always is my co-host, Mr. Andrew TD King. Rob, how we doing, sir?
Hey, man, doing pretty good. Feeling a little under the weather, but, you know, always talking some fantasy, gets me in a good spirit here. I like today's topic a lot, you know, with the running back reviews, because I think this is definitely one of the positions that can make or break you in the early part of the drafts. So I'm excited to dive into it a little bit here and, you know, see if we can maybe do a little preview as well on who we think maybe will be top two, round running backs this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Going to go through the RB1s from this season, rank and review them. You know, pretty much how they, you know, overcame or shot up on their ADP, whichever it was, or maybe they underperformed, probably more in the RB2 conversation. But, we still got a lot going on here. You know, we got a lot of recent news going on in the NFL. Of course, you know, we've got the Chiefs and the Eagles go into the Super Bowl. Who's your early Super Bowl pick?
Oh, man. Well, as a Washington fan, most certainly isn't the Eagles. So let's go Chiefs, Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, I'm not a fool to realize that the Eagles probably have a better team everywhere except for tight end and quarterback. I think it's going to be a really good matchup. I do lean the under for the total, but I have already bet the Chiefs +2.5 when it came out like hours after the games ended last weekend. So I am already invested in the Chiefs and invested in the under. I can't wait to dive into the props. There's a lot of people talking about props. I think the props are a pretty cool thing to do for the Super Bowl. But yeah, early lean, fuck the Eagles. It's all about the Chiefs, baby.
I'm also not an Eagles fan, but either way, I would be going with the Chiefs. Just always really big on Patrick Mahomes. Hard to get me off of him when, especially if you're going to give him to me as a dog. It's very difficult for me to not bet him. So, and then we've got some other news. Tom Brady, he retired. For now, finally. You know, at least. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's February. You know. We'll see what happens in a couple.
Yeah, there's a lot of time to become bored from now to the start of football. So yeah, we'll see. What over
the same
under
thing last year?
Over under
hanging out with his kids.
2 months before he comes back.
I'm gonna say it's over, but like, okay, it's still like we can't rule it out entirely, right? So I'll take the over, but you know, it's just for fun's sake. Like, oh, he's going to do it again. It's the next Brett Favre. It's going to, you know, he'll come back midseason. You know, like, honestly, like, I until, like, he's in the booth, like, I think, is he signed with NBC? Someone has a huge offer already. I don't. Yeah, I think. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's Fox. Actually,
I don't remember. It's 10 years, $375 million. I know that.
It's a lot of money, that's for sure. Until he's up there doing that every game, like, it's, you know, until I see that, anything could happen. But I'm gonna say that he probably sails out. What do you think about the Buccaneers and now their prospects at the quarterback position? I mean, we reviewed, you know, Tom Brady in the quarterback reviews section of our new booking here, but you know, not coming back now. Where should they go?
Yeah. I mean, obviously the Bucs, Kyle Trask probably isn't the answer. I'm going to lean that they probably end up getting, you know, somebody of Derek Carr. You had mentioned Jimmy G before the show when we were talking about it. So
sure.
I think a veteran guy probably goes there. If not, then they're going to have to draft somebody because I think we saw a little bit of Kyle Trask. And again, I don't think it was enough of a sample size to really rule him out, but I also don't think that he's the answer. So we'll see, but I do end up thinking if I'm betting on it, I bet that they go ahead and get one of the free agent veteran guys that are out there.
Yeah, I'm guessing so. I'm thinking Jimmy's going to be in play. I mean, if worse comes to worse, they could maybe, you know, go after Carson Wentz when once he gets cut by your team.
God, anywhere from Washington's fine with me.
I don't know. I just feel like there's going to be like some worst case scenarios. Remember their little starting quarterback by the name of Jacoby Brissett?
Hey, I mean, that's not awful.
You know what I mean? Like, you never know in this league. Like, people said, oh, well, Jacoby Brissett, he's good enough to be a starter this year. Same thing with Marcus Mariota and Baker Mayfield.
So. Yeah, and there's some guys that aren't quite available yet. Like, Sam Darnold, I think, is somebody that could become available because I think they do something there. You know, so there's guys that are on teams right now that, you know, as Carson Wentz, you know, as you alluded to, like, guys like that that I think could potentially be, you know, kick the tires on, essentially. So we'll see. But yeah, I really don't think that they just draft somebody and stick them in there. I really think they get a veteran.
It makes sense, you know, with where the team is at right now. They don't feel, even without Tom Brady, like a rebuild project, you know, with where Godwin and Evans are right now. They had just signed Leonard Fournette. Maybe he's a cap casualty in this situation because, you know, may not feel like, you know, his services are a necessity at this point. And he's a pretty big cap hit. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I would assume right now, yeah, Derek Carr and Jimmy G are probably at the top of their, you know, to-do list or their call list.
Yep.
And then we also had an interesting trade. Sean Payton traded from the Saints for not just a first, Andrew, but a first and a second round pick. What the hell? Like, what? That's awesome. That's fantastic for the Saints. Good job. Like, what? This guy left us just holding the bag, and you know, we got a couple of top picks out of him. Like, it's a pretty good situation for them. But, you know, Sean Payton's got a lot of work to do. How are you reacting to this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's much better than Nathaniel Hackett. I don't think it's good, though. I think that he's probably a bottom half coach on this team. I don't know if they went out and got him thinking we already had, or, you know, he was a short QB quarterback before. Maybe he can come in and do the same thing with another short QB. Different team, different style of team, you know, than what he has been used to on the Saints. I think the Broncos have a good, talented offensive team that he can do something with. I don't think that they're going to make the big move this year. And unfortunately, they already shot themselves in the foot, you know, moving forward, at least for 2 years with draft picks and stuff. So I'm not sure exactly what, you know, how this is all going to play out, but I think it's an okay move, but I'm never a fan of giving up draft picks for a coach. I mean, the coach helps the team, but not truly, right? Like, you need good players on the field. And
good
that's
staff,
just,
really. I mean, it's not just about the head coach. I mean, there's so many coaches on a football team. You know what I mean? You look at a hockey bench in the NHL, you see like four or five guys, maybe, you know. You see it, look at a sideline in an NFL team, like, my God, there's like, you know, double digit coaches. You know, you've got just on offense, an OC, a QB, wide receiver, running back coach, O-line coach, passing game coach, passing game coordinator. Like, there's a ridiculous amount of hands that go into that. So I'm echoing your take as well here. Like, a first and a second for, you know, I'm not saying a position that you can necessarily cultivate, but there's a market for it. There's just an open, you can just go and sign anybody. You know what I mean? Like Eric Bieniemy is like just trying to get a head coaching job somewhere. Like, is he just not good enough for you? Like for free, for not giving up picks, you know what I mean? And maybe that's not the best example because it's like interdivisional or whatever, but still like there's a market. I don't get it. It's not like there's like, oh, there's no receivers available. Like the Bears have to trade the first pick for DeAndre Hopkins. There's just no one available. There's no market. No, there's a wide open market. I don't get that. So I think that was a big ask, but good things should still come for the offense. Like better things, I would assume still.
Yeah.
When we were talking with Russell Wilson on the review show, you know, we were saying like, yeah, we expect him to have a better year, but not like, you know, leaps and bounds better than this year, but better.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and again, I think the Hackett thing was so screwed up that they just saw Sean Payton and they're like, oh man, like he's a Super Bowl winning coach. Like, you know, I think he could really do it here. And they just decided like in their minds, we definitely want him. It doesn't matter what it costs. And I think that's, you know, they had their blinders on for Payton, I think, you know. Now I did read a report that they tried to get DeMeco Ryans. That obviously that would have been much better in my eyes, you know, for free, first off. And DeMeco Ryans has been lights out with the Niners defense. And obviously the Broncos defense is very good as well. So I think that would have been a slam dunk signing for them. But Sean Payton, good signing. I hate what they gave up for him. So I think the value there, his draft capital, awful. Like it's just his value. ADP, terrible.
Like one of those picks, I'm like, you know, I kind of brush it off because I know they got a mess of picks from the Seahawks, you know, in the Wilson exchange, right? So, or they lost a bunch of picks.
Yeah,
the way around.
They lost a bunch. They got it was a draft pick. Their first round that they just gave for Payton was one that like traveled around. It like went to like two or three different teams. I can't remember what the teams were before it came back to them in a trade. Oh, it was from the Dolphins when they gave up Bradley Chubb.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, again, I'm not a fan of the whole draft pick for a coach thing, but to each his own. I mean, can they really be worse than last year? I mean, just
no, they're going to get better from last season for sure. Sean Payton should be a big part of that. Last bit of that, I think that when healthy, Javonte Williams will be a big buy candidate pretty much in every format, right? You move
early ADP Kamara. Has him round 7. Javonte, by the way, that's awesome.
That's pretty good. So that's pretty good.
If I told you Breece Hall is currently ADP, in the ADP range of round 3 and Javonte round 7, who do you prefer?
They're both coming off of injury. I'll take Javonte. Like, exactly. And just look at the situation. You have Nathaniel Hackett going there. When has Nathaniel Hackett ever overfed a running back? Look at AJ Dillon. Look at Aaron Jones. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there was the split between Gordon and Williams. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, no good. No
yeah. Good. Yeah.
Not a good situation for Breece.
Yeah. I was looking at early ADPs yesterday and that one stuck out to me a lot with these running backs, right? And I'm just like, Jesus, like he's going 4 rounds later and they're similar in my eyes.
Well, that's a really good segue actually into the running back conversation here because the first guy up I traded for in Dynasty, his name's Austin Eckler. You know what I gave up for him?
Breece Hall. Let's see. And oh, damn. Okay.
Straight up. The guy asked me at first. We went back and forth a little bit. He asked me for Breece Hall and a second for Eckler, and I was like, "Nah, I'll take Eckler and one of your seconds for my Breece Hall." And he was like, "No, let's exchange Breece Hall and Eckler for both of our seconds." And I said, "All right, no, I'm not doing like what? No, I'm not doing that." And then he just came back with it straight up, and I was like, all right, let's go. Let's ride. I'll take that. I'll take the RB1 on a team. Like, that's a team where I already have Derrick Henry, team where I already have Travis Kelce, CeeDee Lamb. I mean, it's dynasty format, so I'm good with it.
And so how do you feel about the new back OC?
Kellen Moore?
Yeah.
Not too worried about it. I mean, he was talking up Josh Kelly a little bit.
Jesus.
That's not ideal for the Eckler situation, but I mean, I'm not going to buy into that. I'm not going to buy that, you know, Eckler is Zeke somehow, you know what I mean? Like, and Josh Kelly's about to come in all Tony Pollard style and just steal a show. I ain't falling for that. No.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good move. I mean, obviously they just want different things on the offense. We've seen Kellen Moore in that offense for Dallas specifically, you know, get a lot of speed out of the backfield. Like you would just probably see, you know, some more unique, you know, takes for Eckler, you know, in a couple of different ways that they would use him if they weren't using him, i.e. everything they just got out of Tony Pollard in Dallas. So yeah, I think that's a good thing. Austin Eckler, 5-star season, by the way, just, you know, cranking out the reviews here. 316 fantasy points in this format. What is it? 1600 all purpose yards. Where are we at on catches? Led all, of course, all running backs with catches with 107. The next closest was CMC with 85. CMC had more rushing yards, but I believe Eckler had more total touchdowns. Eckler had 18 total touchdowns this season. Absolutely ridiculous. And actually 13 of them were rushing. That's pretty solid. You were drafting him as, you know, one of your top guys. So yep. He just played up to his ADP, maybe even a little bit better than, because he was probably what, RB 2 or 3 off the board.
Yeah, I think he was going roughly around like ADP, like 9 to 11. So yeah, I think it would have been Christian McCaffrey, and then yeah, probably him. Maybe somebody took
Jonathan Cook Taylor was still the 101.
Oh, that's right, you know, that's right.
Yeah, yep. So Taylor, so I guess he would have been CMC, Eckler.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. Like, pending your selection of your poison, you know, as they say, between Eckler and CMC, because of course, people were still timid about CMC, you know, coming back from injury, et cetera. So that was all up in the air. But Eckler absolutely brought it home. And I don't think that we should be expecting a slowdown necessarily anytime soon. 27 or 28 years old, Mr. Eckler?
That's a good question. Oh, right here. Age 27.
Yeah, yep. age 27. I believe there's a bit of a fall off at 28. So I don't know if now is the time necessarily to jump ship. I'm certainly grateful for the gentleman that was, just willing to give him to me for a guy that's still on the IR. I really appreciate that. If you were in a dynasty startup next season, Bijan Robinson, Breece Hall, or Austin Eckler, who would you want?
Ooh, startup, huh?
You're looking at, like, you know, the elite youth, age combined with talent versus experience and just, you know, win now ability.
I guess it really depends on where Robinson goes. If he's in a good spot, I'd probably take him. If not, it's Eckler. Breece Hall's probably third, no matter what, for me there.
Same here. I think it's always going to be up to your draft position, right?
Yeah.
You know, if you get Eckler at better value, which people are doing in Dynasty, I would go that way. I mean, obviously, you're talking about like 5 years of separation between these guys. And in running back years, that's at like a couple of decades. So obviously, nothing to take lightly, you know, drafting youth in a Dynasty format. Certainly appreciate that. But if you get Eckler at better value, it's just nothing to be upset about. It's nothing to kick away. Anything less than a 5-star review from you, sir?
Nope, 5-star. I mean, you already hit on it. Where you drafted him, he still, gave you good value at his ADP. He obviously was the RB1, so you can't really – I feel like you can't give him anything but a 5. I mean, again, like, right. It's not like he killed you by any means. Dude. And he had top 12 finishes in, like, 80 to 85% of you know, every week. So, or I'm sorry, yeah, of the weeks that he played, obviously, all year. He was like an RB1, like 80 to 85%. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So, 5 stars for me.
Easy peasy. Moving on to Mr. CMC. Pretty interesting season. Leaves the team he was drafted by. Goes on a crazy run with the Niners all the way to the NFC Championship. Not quite enough, right? 11 straight wins before this last loss. I don't know how we get off of a 5-star rating for him this season. I think early on it was a little bit disappointing, but I don't think that there's really much to hold against him. He was just not in a great situation, you know, in, 3 out of his first 5 weeks, he still rushed for under 60 yards. It's not really CMC like, but he was playing on a bad team, not in a very good situation. Hard for me to get off of 5 stars again. He was second in the league in receptions at the running back position with 85, had 1,800 total yards. Actually, that might be closer to 1,900 all-purpose yards. You can't get off the efficiency again here between these top two PPR RBs.
Yep, agreed. 5 stars for me. Again, just fantastic workload on both teams. Honestly, you know, it didn't kill you. You know, the trade didn't kill you. I remember talking to my buddy as soon as it happened, because I'd see him seeing a couple teams that were in the same league, and I'm like, man, like, is this good or bad for him? Leaving a team that knows he's the best player, going to a team that he's probably the best player, but, you know, again, they have George Kittle, they had Debo. Like, how is this going to affect him? And honestly, he showed us that. What was it, the first or second week he was there, that he had the passing touchdown, rushing touchdown, and receiving touchdown?
It was the
touchdown?
Second week. Yeah.
Like, so they showed us pretty quick that, like, CMC was going to be the guy for them. So, there was no concern there. And again, like, he was fantastic. He had a bunch of top 12 finishes, you know, throughout the year as well. So he was a running back one. I think it was like 65 to 70% of the time. Also fantastic. So, again, like, he didn't kill you by any means. He gave you enough points for that where you drafted him. He was still valuable, and he didn't hurt you by his ADP. So, 5 stars for me here again.
Yeah, pretty easy one there. Someone we're definitely going to be targeting in drafts early on again next year. If you are, you know, first on the clock, would you go CMC or Eckler? It's in a redraft format.
Depending on what the Niners do at quarterback, like if it's Trey Lance,
I feel like if there's an inexperienced QB there, I mean, everything's still gravy. I mean,
yeah,
he never had a quarterback in Carolina.
Yeah,
he never had a guy.
I was just about to say, I was thinking it through. I'm like, you know what? No, it's CMC no matter what for me. It doesn't matter if it's Trey Lance, or obviously it's not Jimmy G. They already said that they're not keeping him. So it doesn't really matter to me who it is. CMC is going to get the workload. It's for me, it's more the scheme. Right, with Kyle Shanahan, like you can take anybody off the street and have them get 1,000 yards in this offense. It's just crazy how he's able to do that, and that's why I was so high on Tyrion Davis Price in best ball last year. Like, he was by far my most drafted. Now, of course, he never saw the field, which sucked.
Elijah Mitchell was mine.
Oh God! Right, like, yeah. You just talk yourself into, like, okay, you know what? If he's the main guy, like, he's gonna go off. He's at a good spot here. He's great, you know, ADP. So yeah, I mean, Christian McCaffrey's still gonna be the guy. He didn't show any signs of slowing down. Obviously, he had that, like, calf issue towards, you know, the last two games, that they were keeping that heat on it and stuff. But he has all off season to really get that, you know, back to 100% as well. So yeah, it'll be CMC for me.
I feel like the sentiment is the same for me. I think when you just look at the offense, you have weapons everywhere. I feel like the Chargers are getting a little bit older. Keenan Allen, I mean, you have a young QB, of course, but, you know, I feel like the offense is still going to be run, you know, specifically through Eckler. I just don't know if I trust the weapons around him as much as I do the weapons in San Francisco. Next up we have is Josh Jacobs. That's a surprise.
Yeah.
Ran all over the place. I believe he was second in the league in total attempts behind Derrick Henry. That's correct. 349 for Henry and 340 for Josh Jacobs. He had a total of over 2,000 all-purpose yards, 2,053 all-purpose yards. Can we expect this again from him this year? And again, is this a situation you go any lower than 5? Because he absolutely crushed his ADP. Spanked it.
Yeah, again, it's a 5. I don't know if he can. He's the first guy we're talking about here that I'm not sure he can finish where he did this year. Like, Austin Eckler and CMC give me much more hope to finish, you know, closer to their, you know, to the top ADP and to the top of the list. Josh Jacobs, I'm not sure he can do it again. You know, there's some influx in the QB there. You know, what are they going to do? I don't really believe the Raiders are that good. I think they were a little bit better this year than what they really should have been. But Josh Jacobs, I mean, as far as his rating, I mean, yeah, you nailed it, is where he was being drafted and where he finished, light years difference, way better. I mean, you can't really give him less than a 5-star. I mean, he was absolutely fantastic, you know, great this year, but I have my doubts moving forward. So he's going to be a guy I really dive into to feel like, is he going to be worth I assume he's going to go at least round 1 through 4. I would imagine probably he lands in 3 somewhere. But yeah, I mean,
I think we're going to see some big overreactions. I think we're going to see him in round 1, probably early round 2.
I will be off of him if that's where he goes. Like round would be maybe well. End of three ish four will probably be where I would be okay taking him. But I mean, if he's going there, I'm gonna be full fade.
I don't play in standard formats, but the thing that I'm looking at here says that he was the number one standard running back. So I know in that format he's definitely going to be grabbed a lot. Yeah. PPR, there usually is some correlation, like in the ADP and the rankings. You know, obviously you're getting that bump. Let me see how many total catches he had this season. 53. There's nothing to kick away. That's certainly a lot more than what Derrick Henry's getting. I'll tell you that much. What is that? Derrick Henry had 33. So about another 20 catches. Oh, wow. Interesting. Derrick Henry had the same amount of receiving yards, though, as Josh Jacobs. That's interesting. That's interesting. But back to Jacobs here. I mean, I definitely have to see some regression from these numbers. And whether that's just someone else like filling his spot, like a resurgence of Jonathan Taylor or someone of that level, you know, if J.K. Dobbins is healthy for a full season, who knows? Dalvin Cook could move back up the board. There's a lot of guys around the league that could be there. Could be a younger guy. Could be Najee Harris, for all I know. He was a top five guy last year. He fell out of the good graces this year. So, he feels like a definite regression candidate. Just based on like what you had said, the big question marks around the Raiders. And it just feels like this production just kind of just came out of nowhere. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying there wasn't a rhyme or reason about it, but it did feel like when I was watching it live, I'm just like, is this happening? Like, it felt like a flash in the pan type of season for the numbers that he put up. Hope it helps him out, whether it's, you know, contract wise or whatever. But yeah, he's not someone that I would be buying at that ADP at the end of the first, beginning of the second. I think that would be, you know, still a little bit too high. We haven't gotten to guys like Henry, who we just mentioned, Barkley, Ramondre Stevenson, I feel like should probably be up there. Hard to say Joe Mixon after today's news. We'll get to him in a bit. but yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of other guys I feel like I could see moving up there. A full season of even like Kenneth Walker, you know what I mean? Like he could make a top five run.
Yeah, and you know, last thing I want to hit on with Josh Jacobs too is it was so hard to know that he was going to do this because like the Raiders were telling us, all signs are pointing to they don't want him. I figured that he wouldn't get a lot of usage. I mean, he played what, like almost the entire like first half or whatever of that game, or the second half of the Hall of Fame game. Like, you have your star running back out there in the Hall of Fame game. That was them showcasing him for a
trade, that was just to get him ready for all the reps he was going to take, bud. That was to get him ready for all these carries he was going to take.
It just it looked like they were telling us in the Hall of Fame game. That they didn't want him, that they wanted to trade him. And I'm like, I'm a staffless guy. Like, how much use is this guy really going to get? And then he showed us, right? So it was so hard. Like, he's such an anomaly.
That's football. Yeah, I'm not buying into it. Great season, Jacobs. But, no, big sell candidate for me in dynasty formats. Someone I'm not going to be investing heavily on early in next year's drafts either, at least the way things stand right now. What if they get Aaron Rodgers, though? let me throw one last caveat in there.
Oh man, I would feel better about it. I still wouldn't want to take him at that ADP. I would much more be interested in Davante Adams.
He'd be a smash in the first round for so many people with him there. Yeah. I would still probably not pay that price. I would probably, like, if I was stuck at the running back wide receiver wedge in the first round, I would probably go wide receiver or just, you know, draft Travis Kelce again if I can. You know, if someone hasn't taken him yet, just, you know, I'll just take the best tight end in the league. No big deal. All right. Next up, we have Derrick Henry of the Titans. Still had a great season. I mean, I don't know if I give him 5 stars, but I mean, the dude had like a ton of yards, like almost 2,000 all purpose yards. But I just felt like there were some weeks where he disappeared for us. Do you have the numbers up for his RB1 percentage?
Yeah, I do. Let's see. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
There was definitely some weeks where I was just like, bro, like, you know, I needed those four points. I needed an extra couple of yards there, bud.
Yeah, he technically had 9, but he also finished 13th in week 18. Okay. So almost 10. So, I mean, that's 50%, you know, still very good. I mean, he didn't really kill you. There was 2 weeks that honestly were real bad. A running back 44 finish and a running back 29. Outside of that, he never really killed you. He's just steady Eddie, right? Like, you know what he's going to get workload wise. You know, he's not going to catch a ton of passes. You know, he's going to get yardage. You know, he's going to get touchdowns. Like, he's as steady as they come. And unless they do something really drastic to show that they're going to turn into a pass first offense, I expect Derrick Henry to just kind of be what he is again next year. And I give him 4.5 stars, not quite 5, but he was very good. He didn't kill you where you drafted him. And I mean, again, like, this dude's reliable, and it's always fun watching him too, because you're like, is this going to be a game where he stiff arms somebody to hell? Like, I love seeing that shit. So it's always fun watching
Chris Conte.
Yeah. Like,
or no, that was the guy for the Steelers.
The guy from
what was that guy's name? The big tight end. He gave Conte the stiff arm from hell.
Oh, you don't want Freiermuth?
No, not Freiermuth. It was this big bulky dude. I can't remember his name. It'll come to me. It'll come to me. But Derrick Henry, I can't remember who he did it to.
Well, Josh Norman, he did it 2 years ago.
Yeah, completely threw him.
There was somebody else this year he did it to as well. It's just always fun watching that. Like the Yeti. You know, obviously everyone calls him the Yeti because he gets better as it gets colder, which, again, makes no sense outside of this dude's just a massive human being and his body just adapts better than most. But yeah, it is so much fun watching Derrick Henry. So I'll give him a 4.5. Not quite the 5 tier, but, you know, he didn't kill you by any means.
I'm giving him 4.25 because he laid a goose egg in the championship week. They wouldn't let him play in the fantasy championship because they wanted to save him up and they wanted to, I don't know, not win that game, I guess. I don't know what it was, but yeah, I wasn't happy about that. Great season, great year from Derrick Henry, but yeah, not quite a 5 star. I'll give him the 4.25. Andrew's got him at the 4.5. Next up here, so weird. Like, Saquon Barkley had less fantasy points than Derrick Henry. It doesn't feel right based on the year that he had. Saquon Barkley, over 1,600 all-purpose yards. Was it 10 rushing touchdowns, but 0 receiving touchdowns? That's a little... it's a little interesting. 57 receptions, pretty solid stuff. Format I'm looking at here in PPR, 223 fantasy points. I mean, based off of the seasons we've been getting out of Barkley, I feel like my review would be a 5. I have to imagine he was an RB1 in more than 50% though of his starts.
Let's see here.
I'm thinking probably similar to Henry, probably like a 4.5. 4.25.
He had 8 QB or running back 1 finishes. Another one at 14, and then he had 3 at 17. So pretty close on an additional 4. But yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, where you were drafting him. If you were drafted, you know, again, my mind always goes best ball because that's what I love most. Best ball, you were getting him round 3, round 4 towards the beginning of the draft season, which, again, excellent value. By the end of draft season, you know, he was going at the end of round 1, early round 2. Again, didn't kill you. I'm going to give him a 4.5. You know, he was just on par with Derrick Henry for me. Seemed, you know, you mentioned it, seemed like he had a much better year than Derrick Henry. Right. And I think probably by eye he did, but by points, obviously, he did not. So Saquon just still, like, he showed the burst this year. You know, I feel like that's what he was missing last year. He showed us that he can have that again. Stayed healthy as well. That's always good to see. You know, and worked really well with Dan Jones. Like, this is a running back that I would be concerned for if it's a new quarterback. Because I feel like he really got in a good rhythm with Dan Jones, knowing what he wanted to do. And, you know, again, Dan Jones dumped it off to him as well. Like, that again, this is a quarterback I would be concerned about. If he got a new quarterback, but I don't think that's going to happen. He's definitely going to be in my top 5 next year as well. They should have a decently favorable schedule next year because they will play the third team from whatever divisions we're playing next year. So they'll have a better matchup than most. And again, like, he was all around awesome. Another fun guy to watch as well. So that's always an added bonus for me, is when you get a guy that you like watching on your teams and you want to tune into him. So yeah, Saquon, 4.5 for me.
Next year in the first round, you're on the clock. We'll say you're at pick 10. You want to go running back. You going Josh Jacobs or Saquon Barkley?
Josh Jacobs. No, I'm sorry. False. Saquon Barkley.
I was about to say, yeah, that's right, Saquon. And then you were like, curveball, buddy.
Yeah, Saquon Barkley. It doesn't matter format either for me. It'd be both.
Yeah, again, like, I'm not going to fall for the Josh Jacobs hype from this season. Still going to stick with the better talent from what we've seen, you know, tried and true for many seasons here. Give me Barkley. I'll go 4.5. We'll go with the same answer on that one. I feel like that's fair. Also someone that didn't necessarily show up for you in the fantasy finals either. Just 12 carries for 58 yards in week 17 against the Colts. Not ideal. Man, this guy's not getting a four. Nick Chubb. Like, I don't know how he finished this high, to be honest with you. It must have just been loaded from the first. Yeah, the first half of the season is what I was getting at.
Yep.
And I guess he did have a good week in week 18, but man, where was this guy? Like, I mean, he missed like half the season, quarter of the season. What was it?
When you say missed, what do you mean? He played
like game. His mark, like games. Like, he did not deliver for his ADP, for his first round draft capital, for being the first running back on your roster. He was not that dude. I mean, the first, I think, six or seven games, he was absolutely amazing. And then,
yep, he had
fell into a pit of fire.
He had 8 weeks as a RB1 with an additional three that were within three spots of a RB1. So
of those eight, how many of them came in the first 8 weeks?
Six.
Ah, aha. Yep. And how many of them came in week 18? One.
Yeah, one. Yeah, he was.
So in the fantasy football regular season and playoffs, he only had a total of seven, and only six of those were in the first 8 weeks.
Again, you know, people looked at me funny when I know I said it on this show. You know, when we were talking about it. I read a couple different, you know, articles and stuff that people were like, man, like, he could really have a bad end of the season. And I traded him away in every league I had him in. Somebody was trying to trade me at the beginning of the year. I think it was like week 4 through 6. This dude just kept hitting me up trying to get Jamar Chase or Steph Diggs for me in this league. And I'm like, nah. Like, and again, my running backs were pretty bad. But I just, you know, you could just see the downfall with the teams he was going to play in the latter half of the year, with the way the team was going, with the uncertainty of what was going to happen when Watson came back. Like, there was just so many red flags with Nick Chubb. So yeah, I mean, a great all through week 8. Amazing. They come out of the bye and it's just like, meh. And then it just got worse and worse and worse. And then all of a sudden, you know, week 18 comes around and he's awesome. And that didn't matter for most of them.
Week 13 to 17, he failed to reach double digit fantasy points. However, in three of those weeks, he rushed for over 90 yards, and for those weeks he rushed for over 80 yards. So yeah, you're right. He got the volume. He was getting touches. He just wasn't finding pay dirt. 3.5 for me. Maybe that's low to some folks, but this is not fantasy production that you want. Definitely not something that you would come back to eat at. That's for sure. You got a rating for him?
I'll give him a that's tough. I'll give him a 3.5. Yeah. Again, like, he did all his damage at the beginning of the year, latter half of the year. So, like, you know, half the year he was good, half the year he wasn't. You know, didn't really help you in the fantasy playoffs. So a 3.5, because again, like, he did finish as what was a six, mm-hmm. RB6 in PPR. So you can't really kill him a lot, but I think 3.5 is respectable for him.
Oh, I don't think it's respectable. I think it's stinking bad. It should have been a 4.5. What the hell, Nick Chubb? Do better, man. Ramondre Stevenson is next. He finished with 198 fantasy points, had 210 carries and 69 receptions. That puts him at number 4 in total receptions at the running back position. Had over 1,400 all-purpose yards, but just 6 total touchdowns on the season. And I feel like that's where we were left wanting more with Ramondre. He was not finding the end zone enough. Obviously, Dame Harris was still healthy to start the season, so you have to kind of take that into consideration. That's a factor there. But I still felt like, you know, it was a pretty good year. Like, I was pretty happy with the Ramondre Stevenson shares that I had. They were few because I was not chasing him like many folks were during draft season because of the PPR upside. Everybody was running to him, you know. Which, and they're right. They were correct. That's good stuff. But I was constantly taking Dame Harris at a discount, getting him on the cheap. Most formats that didn't work out for me, obviously, as Ramondre finished as an RB1, top 10 RB. I feel really good about him though going forward. Like, I'm going to go with a 4-star rating from this season. And I'm also just very confident what we're going to get out of him going forward. He feels like a guy that's going to be running, or running back proof, excuse me, quarterback proof. Like, we saw him perform with Zappe. We saw him perform with Mac Jones. Like, I feel like whatever they do to kind of answer that, you know, question on their offense at quarterback, like, he should be fine.
Yep. Agreed. I think, yeah, he's quarterback proof. I also give him a 4-star rating. He finished with, was it 6 technical RB1 finishes. He had a week where he was 13 and then 2 more weeks, you know, pretty close as well. So he definitely did not kill you. If you were doing any best ball drafts early in the season, he was going way late. Like, he was way down the board for a while. So he was excellent value earlier in the year. As the year went on, obviously in draft season, he crept up and he got to an appropriate draft spot, I think, you know, for what he did. So yeah, he most certainly did not kill you. It did suck though. The last 3 weeks, you know, week 16, 17, and 18,
the big time,
you
know,
he was bad, so bad. And now, well, he was dealing 18, with an injury.
18 isn't, you know, the norm for like championships. So yeah. I usually use that as the outlier. So the first week of the playoffs, he did perform well. Yes. 19 for 172. I know that you and I both had him in underdog cards that week. That was fantastic. Yeah, that was a good time. Didn't feel good about it going back to the well the following week. Because I know I also did that too. I was like, yeah, let's go one more time. Did not ride.
That week you're referring to, week 16 versus Cincinnati, just take a guess. You can see his numbers there. Just take a guess at what his weekly finish was.
65.
That's pretty damn bad. Remember, there's 32 teams. 32 times 2 is 64. He finished as, you know, technically, you know, 65. That's not even second on all teams. Like, crazy.
No, it's
and
bad.
Again, he
it's
was bad. Dealing with an injury as well. You know, that did hinder him. I can't remember what week he actually initially got injured, but that had hindered him as well. So,
yeah, because that game that he went off in week 15, he was coming in on the injury report.
Was it week 14 versus Arizona that he got hurt? I feel like I remember that.
I don't remember.
I don't remember. But regardless, you know, throughout the whole season overall, he was awesome. I expect him to do the same next year. And four star rating for me. And this is a guy I'm actually looking forward to drafting next year.
Same here. I am excited about him as well. Moving on, looks like, you know, he should be the future there for at least the short period going forward. Obviously, that's life as a running back in the NFL. So you take what you can get. But yeah, lots to be excited about. And like I said, like, whatever they do with the quarterback position, I don't think there should be really any concern about his value. He would be someone that, you know, with the right dominoes to fall, I could definitely see myself like aggressively moving him up my boards early on next year. Next man up we have here is Tony Pollard. I gotta say, I think this is another 4-star one here, if not maybe even more, just based off of, you know, digging himself out of the depths of ADP. Like, he wasn't a priority on anyone's to-do list this year. I mean, obviously, like, yeah, there's a lot of anti-Zeke, you know, fantasy people. Like, I get that. Like, you saw the slowdown. You know, you don't see as much athleticism there. He's just kind of bowling himself forward, you know, becoming more of like a goal line back than a power back, if anything, right? And then like, oh, well, that means like Tony Pollard should have success. Yeah, but you probably weren't drafting him anywhere like high. Like, you were throwing a chip in the pot here and there, but it wasn't someone that we had to take risks on, right? Like, you didn't have to worry about overdrafting him early on. So for that, I'll give him a 4-star. Had nearly 1,400 all-purpose yards, which is crazy to say. And he had 12 total touchdowns. So maybe I'm even like downgrading him because I just gave Stevenson a 4 and he only had about half that amount of touchdowns.
Yeah.
Say something nice about a Cowboy. Just do it, man.
Yeah.
Don't hurt yourself.
I'll give him a 3.99. Can't go 4 because he's a Cowboy. He gets a full star downgrade due to being a Cowboy. So
I
sorry,
can't
Tony
wait
Pollard.
For us to get into CeeDee Lamb conversations.
yeah. It again, like, I can't say anything bad about Pollard outside of him being a Cowboy. I was high on Pollard. You know, I'm in the camp of he's much, much better than Zeke nowadays. Obviously, it really sucks that he suffered a fractured leg, I believe. You know, that sucks for him, especially it was at the end of the year. He's probably not going to be ready for the beginning of next season. If so, he's definitely going to be limited. You know, they'll have him on a snap count, something of that nature. Mm-hmm. So it definitely sucks for him, but he was real good, you know, for where you were drafting him. I think if I remember correctly, he was going before Josh Jacobs, like around before Josh Jacobs, you know, so like you could have hit on a couple of these guys real late in the draft. So I think for his ADP value, he was very good. He obviously was good. The shitty part for him was that on any given week, you weren't 100% sure how they were going to use these guys. We heard reports coming out of Dallas that like he ain't going to play more than 30 snaps in the game. Like it's just, it was kind of hard to fully trust him, but it was also hard to like, well, do I really have two or three guys that I like better than him that I'm not going to play him? So like there was conundrums with him, but overall, very good. He had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 RB1 finishes, and maybe one other one that was decently close.
Pretty solid. I mean, for Tony Pollard coming out of again the far depths of your draft, and if you drafted him ahead of Jacobs, like tip of the cap, because I mean, I that late in the draft, I still would have gone heavy Jacobs if we're talking that late.
Yeah, like it was a little surprising when I was looking at this as well. But week 11 and 13, he was the overall RB1 on the on the week. So that's pretty crazy. Two RB1 finishes, and so I mean, again, you know, besides being a Cowboy, everything was pretty good in my mind with Tony Pollard. So 4-star for me, or I'm sorry, 3.99 star for me, and it. Depending on the news we get with the injury, he'll be somebody I'd be looking for later in the drafts as a backup RB.
Yeah, I could definitely see myself drafting him as my RB2 next season. Again, all things, you know, pointing in positive directions with his health and his return to the field. Next up we have is Aaron Jones of the Packers for now.
Go, Pack, go.
Run, Aaron, run. Like, get away from this team. Both the Aarons, man. Jesus. Aaron and Aaron should head the F out of town. Man, I don't know what's going on with the Packers. I mean, Aaron Jones, definitely a disappointment to his ADP. Still finished as a top 10 running back, but he was being drafted well ahead of guys like Pollard, Stevenson, even Josh Jacobs, right? So, like, he should have finished ahead of these guys. Like, if you're telling me that all of these guys finished ahead of Aaron Jones, I would have assumed that he had suffered like a significant injury, and he was playing hurt for some of this season, but realistically it was just a stagnant offense, bad play calling, and not getting the rock enough. I mean, this is a guy who is splitting work and he still rushed for over 1,000 yards, 1,121 rushing yards, nearly 400 receiving yards at 395 on 59 catches, only 7 total touchdowns for Aaron Jones. I've seen games where he's gotten half of that. Like, his usage is absolutely irresponsible on a football level. Like, if he's healthy and ready to run, like, you got to get this guy involved. I know I was in the camp of, you know, they're going to use him like a receiver. They're going to get him the touches that he's going to need because they don't have an offense that's high flying. They're losing Davante Adams. They're going to need to supplement that production. Did they? Nah. They were like, we'll just run the ball more. And look where it got him, out of the playoffs. Bums. That's my Packers hate. So that's just some of that spewing out. I if I don't keep mine as hidden as yours, you know.
Really.
I don't know what to tell you. But I will go. I'm not going 4. That's for certain. We gave Tony Pollard a 4, mostly based off of his production versus ADP, right? Aaron Jones, not living it up for me. I gotta go, man. Honestly, I'm gonna go less than Nick Chubb. I'm gonna go 3.25. He was serviceable. Like, there was weeks he was like decent. Like, he won you some weeks for sure, but probably more often than not, he was a casualty in your lineup.
Yeah, agreed. 3.25. He had 6 weeks as an RB1. Again, finished as a top 10 guy. Like, that doesn't kill you. Where you took him, though, you're obviously looking for a little bit more production, a little bit, you know, more touchdowns. It's just, there was issues with this offense throughout the year, and again, you already mentioned it, the usage for him is just criminal. Like, this man is very good, both in the passing game and the running game, and they just didn't use him as much. It was like the offense was a little confused this year without Davante Adams. It was like they weren't 100% sure like who they wanted to feature each week, and it made it a little difficult too to start him. Obviously, you were doing it, you know, in most cases, but right. I had him on a team that I had Ramondre Stevenson and CMC on, and every week I'm like, nice. Damn, who am I starting? Like, which one of these guys is going to blow up? Yeah, there was a flex, but it's a PPR league, and I had very good wide receivers as well in this league. So, it was a really hard decision for me to make every week is between these three guys. And so, he didn't kill you. He obviously didn't, win you many weeks as well either. So, I think 3.25 is very fair for him. And I see here there's a note that it looks like he could restructure his contract to stay with the Packers this year. So we might get another year of just kind of.
Why do you want to do that, Aaron? Dude, get out of there. Demand a trade, bruh. Like, come on. Like, there are so many opportunities out there just waiting for you. Just yearning for a running back like you, i.e. the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills would, think of the city of Buffalo welcoming Aaron Jones. They might just, just build him a street and name it after him or something like that. Just boom, day one, you're in. You're in the family. You know what I mean? You're kicking back with grandpa.
So who says no in this trade? Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones to the Raiders for Josh Jacobs and a first round pick. Who says no?
Probably the Raiders.
You think?
They're not going to give up a first round pick for Aaron Rodgers. Probably. I don't think so.
But and Aaron Jones.
I mean, they're just two aging players. I don't know. Hey, man, I saw a first and a second just trade for a coach. So, I mean, God only knows. I mean, I guess that could happen, but I don't know. That's a bit much. That's a little bit more Madden-like. You could definitely get that done on the old Madden, smacking around the sticks. All right, we got kind of caught up there a little bit on Aaron Jones, which is fine because I mean it's a passionate conversation, it's an emotional field talk, that's for sure.
Would you take him next, Bears, by the way? Just last thought. Yeah, okay. You welcome him as a divisional foe. Yeah.
Come on, Don. Yeah. I'll take A-Rod too if he wants to play backup. You like that? You like that? Yeah, I thought you liked that. All right. Next up, we got Mr. Dalvin Cook, another NFC North running back stud. I would also love to have him on my team, the Bears. 264 carries this season, pretty solid as he's getting up there in age. 1,173 rushing yards, 295 receiving, putting him close to about 1,500 all-purpose yards. Pretty solid. Double-digit touchdowns at 10. I love it. There was just some weeks where I was just like, why isn't this guy getting more touches? Why isn't he getting more involved? Like, it wasn't as criminal as Aaron Jones to say. It's just that I felt the offense just became property there of Justin Jefferson. And I don't know if that's what I should expect going forward, if it's just going to continue just being high flying lights out down the field football for the Vikings. But I mean, I still feel like that's a good situation for Dalvin Cook going forward. I'm going to start cranking the stars back up here. I'm going to go four because I feel like people were expecting a big decline from him. I feel like people were really down on him this past offseason. So I'm going to give him a four just because I'm going to say he stayed that dog, but I was still left wanting more.
Oh, yeah, man. Just looking at his stuff here. I guess. Oh, man. Yeah, it's tough.
Having a hard time with the four, huh?
Yeah, I want to give him a four. But, man, yeah. You know what? I'll still give him a four. No, I can't do it. 3.75.
Can't do it.
I mean, he was drafted pretty high. He only had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He has 7 weeks as a RB1, which is great. That's good.
But he's drafted much
higher than a lot of these other guys.
That's true. He was probably getting still draft top five redraft stock, but in a lot of dynasty formats he was much later than that. He was going in end of the second, early third in dynasty formats. So I guess you got to kind of take, you know, both into consideration there. But yeah, I mean, I remember seeing him going really early in redrafts and still thinking like, man, like people are so like down on him this year. I'm so surprised he's going that high, you know, like going like, you know, number four, number five. But like in redraft formats, you know, people put on the blinders and, you know, just like, you know, just go with the biggest name they love and can find. So,
yeah.
No, I get it. Like I said, like I was left wanting more for certain. He only had 39 catches on a team that was passing the ball a ton. I would have liked that number to be a lot higher. I don't think it was because, like, you know, Alexander Mattison's coming for his job. You know, like I cannot stand Alexander Mattison or people that love him. That's actually not true. I like a lot of people that like Alexander Mattison. I just hate when they bring him up. Yeah, I just still think that Dalvin Cook is really freaking good. Like, yeah, he's getting older. I'm not saying that all of these like great running backs are like Adrian Peterson, but like we've seen a running back like him with a high athletic build and skill set, you know, take their career a long way. You know what I mean? And I always just feel like people are just so black and white and up and down with, you know, how they tune to the song of running backs in the NFL. Like, you know, oh, I can't be on this guy anymore because he's a certain age. I'm like, well, like, let's read the room here. Let's check the context of the situation, because everybody is different. Everybody has a different background, especially with injuries. So I was pretty satisfied with it. But yeah, again, left wanting more. There were some big weeks. I think it's the catches and the total touchdowns. Like I he had 8 rushing touchdowns, 10 total on the season, but they're kind of too and few far between. No, like, there's no like real big run. There's no like real big games. Like, we saw Joe Mixon put up a 50 burger at one point this season. Obviously he declined off of that, but like some of these other guys, like on this list, they've had like some really big moments. And I just felt like he was very above average for just about most of the season. Like, you know what I mean? There's like, there's no like just like big booming escaping weeks of production and fantasy points, but he's always keeping his cool, always keeping an even keel.
Yeah. You know, you hit on a majority of this. I mean, he was good. He wasn't great. He was serviceable. The thing I always think about is, you know, where were you drafted? Were you valuable at your ADP? He was kind of lackluster at his ADP. So that's a problem for me a little bit.
Yeah.
But I mean, moving forward, you know, and again, it was a new offense this year as well. So, did that hinder him a little bit? Maybe. I expect him to be better next year, you know, depending on what they do. Are they keeping Kirk? You know, is he giving it one more year? You know, what's the case there? So we'll see. But I mean, overall, like, he was very mediocre in my eyes, you know, didn't lose you many weeks, but also didn't win you a ton of them either. So he's left some meat on the bone a little bit. But next year, I think he can be much better, because I think he will drop a little bit, you know, in the ADP. So that'll make him a little bit more attractive.
Yeah. Some interesting notes here. So this year he finished as PPR RB11. Last year it was 16. And the 2 years before that were, you know, they were booming seasons, number 2 and 6. The last two seasons, he still has rushed for over 1,100 yards, 1,173 this season, 1,159 two seasons ago. And this season, he still had more total touchdowns than he did a year prior. So he actually improved quite a bit from last season to this year. So I'll still take that into consideration to my ranking as well. This next guy up here, he stepped in it. Big doo-doo, Mr. Joe Mixon. Looks like he is, he's brought up on some type of
menacing misdemeanor, charges, right?
I was going to say, it's not misdemeanor. I was about to say, like, what is this? It's menacing. He,
it said menacing, yeah.
Yeah, he went up to a young lady. He flashed his pistol and said, "I'm gonna kill you, ho," or something like that. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but
oh, yeah, that's not great, Bob. That's most certainly not great,
Bob. It's not great, Bob. Again, I'm paraphrasing. He said something not very nice to a young lady with a gun, with a weapon. That's not a good thing. I believe he's also been recorded while he was in college punching a woman in the face.
Yes, so, I'll say this is not his first time doing something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Joe Mixon's in some doo-doo. So we're already knocking him a star because, you know, you got to behave, bro. Failed to rush for 1,000 yards this season, just 814 rushing yards, but he did back it up with 441 receiving yards. So he finished, you know, under the, 1,000-yard all-purpose mark on the season. Also had 60 catches. Pretty solid. You're not kicking that away. 270 total touches, which is right in Joe Mixon territory. These are good things that typically point to, you know, reliable production. But that was just not the case. Most of this production was held up by a huge week 9 performance where he dropped nearly a 50 burger, 153 rushing yards, and 4 rushing touchdowns, meaning that, where'd it go? He had his 9 total touchdowns. Half of them came literally in one game. I'm going to go 2.5 because you have the 3.5, and then we penalized him a star for just not being a good person. So I'm pretty low on him from this season. Again, I was in a situation where I was probably going to win a championship with him on my roster, but technically because he played for the Bengals and didn't perform in that last game, I missed out on his and Josh Allen's points. So I have to split the pot. Joe Mixon's taken 2.5 stars. It's not his fault, but I got to blame somebody.
But, you know, it is. Yeah, it is what it is. He had 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks as an RB1 with 2 others that were very close. Didn't kill you. His ADP value, I think, was appropriate for where he was being drafted.
End of the first, but, beginning of the second? In single QB.
A little later than that. He was like a 2-3 guy.
Okay.
So, you know, didn't kill you, didn't help you, left some to be desired as well. I'm going to give him a 2.75, just under 3, because, again, I can't really knock him for too many things. I mean, how many running backs got you 50 points this year on a single week? You know, that's also pretty awesome that he's able to do that. He's, depending on what's going on here with the issues off the field, if that is going to hinder him next year, I will probably just be off of him, depending on how far down his ADP goes. Like, he's going to be a guy that's interesting to see if, you know, let's say he gets suspended.
If the price is right, Bobby.
Yeah. You know, like, if he gets suspended 4 or 6 games, I might be interested actually in drafting him because he's going to fall down the boards a lot. So it really is going to depend on where his ADP is. NFL players have
great lawyers, man.
That is very true.
If any NFL player comes by me and starts yelling a bunch of mess, a bunch of nonsense, waving a gun, I ain't gonna bother with him. What's that gonna do me? It's gonna just give me a headache.
I might
be able to go get some money from him.
I'll
get like $20,000 from him on the side, getting a nice little settlement. Like,
fine, that'll
change my life right around. Like, yeah. Man, Joe Mixon, come knock on my door. I got some words for you.
I'll get you a number of how much I'm in debt. You pay that and we good, my man. So,
I'll just get him another menacing charge is what I was going to say. Like, you need another one, buddy? Come knock on my door. I got plenty of things to say.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, I think he was fine. I'm interested to see where he goes next year. Obviously he's on a very good team. You know, the Bengals are on the rise, you know? So don't want to knock him too much. But yeah, I'd say 2.75 is where I'd land on him.
Yeah, not really high on him right now. Again, we're going to have to wait out to see if there are some repercussions from his actions. I'm going to guess probably not. He'll be in a good situation next year, but, you know, there could be some changes to that offense. Maybe we see T. Higgins get moved. I know that they're starting the talks about re-signing Burrow to a long-term extension, so that's going to be on the table as well. Yeah, that's just going to happen. I don't think Mixon's going to be a casualty by any means, but I feel like going forward, like, they also just showed like they don't overly prioritize him. They've been comfortable rolling out P. Ryan and Evans. And I'm not saying that, you know, those guys are going to have like a bigger roles next year, but, you know, we could see, you know, perhaps a shift if they need to get creative and, you know, move on from Mixon and, you know, clear up some cap space or whatever it is. So, you know, who would you rather keep? Like, if there was a situation like that, would you rather ride with T. Higgins or Joe Mixon?
So my school of thought is I'd rather keep T. Higgins because running backs are more or less dime a dozen. But if they're looking to trade one of them, I think you get much more for T. Higgins than you do Joe Mixon. So I guess it really depends on what their mindset is for that. But yeah, I mean, just to answer your question of who do I want to keep, I'd much rather keep Higgins.
I would much rather keep Higgins. longevity of the position, obviously his talent, his potential ceiling. Man, I would love if my Bears would go out and grab them. That would be fantastic. Just get some work done, y'all. No big deal.
Oh, you guys are going to go get DeAndre Hopkins and or Mike Evans.
It's not, dude. Do not trade that pick for Mike Evans. Like, we can make a trade for Mike Evans. Just do not include that first overall pick. And honestly, I'm not ready to give up that pick for Hopkins either. Like, and some people have kind of knocked me for it. Like, why not? Like, you know, obviously it's going to change your team overnight. I'm like, yeah, it could change our team overnight for like 4 weeks until he gets hurt. Like, I don't even know a player that I would actually trade that pick for. Like, CMC, I guess, you know, like, I don't know anyone else that I would just be like, oh yeah, that's easy. Make that
TJ trade. Watt.
No.
No? Okay. No. Oh. No. Just feeling you out, man.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I mean, definitely. Hey, you look good in a Bears jersey for sure. Khalil Mack looked super sexy in a Bears jersey. May he rest. It's not gone with the Chargers, but you know, it's like dead.
He might as well be gone.
Like Roquan. Yeah. Where I'm just like looking at this dead body defense that we're left with. So whatever. Let's pay some bills really quick because we're going to get yelled at. Because it's super late in the show. So I'm going to talk about one of the greatest sports books of all time. And Andrew's going to cover some contests that we're working on right now with the mothership, this at Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is active in a bunch of states, and there are tons of ways to win, including live betting, same game parlays, aka WynnBET's Build Your Own Bet. The big game is here, and WynnBET has you covered. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. And if you're ready to play, sign up today and receive a special offer. Bet 100, get 100. This is limited to state availability. And of course, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get a $1,000 free credit. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know that we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-800-522-4700.
We got two contests for you guys running right now. First one, Big Game Squares Contest. SGPN is giving away $1,000 in their Big Game Squares Contest. It's completely free to enter. That's right, completely free. All you need to do is follow the Sports Gambling Podcast on Spotify, give them a rating, then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/squares to enter for your chance to win a free big game. Again, all you need to do is follow the Sports Gambling Podcast on Spotify, give them a rating, then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/squares to enter for your chance to win a free big game square. Next up, we got the big game bingo. Everybody loves bingo, especially old people, but us young people can get attached to it as well. I've played some bingo. I like it. Also, make sure to sign up for the SGPN app. Get your own big game bingo card full of all your favorite big game prop bets. If you get bingo, you'll win a $57 SGPN gift card. Only catch is you must be subscribed to the Sports Gambling Podcast and the NFL Gambling Podcast. Again, that's Sports Gambling Podcast and the NFL Gambling Podcast on YouTube to win. Free to play and exclusively on the SGPN app.
And if you're listening on Spotify, also keep in mind that the Fantasy Football Podcast is giving away a signed Michigan State University Kenneth Walker jersey. All you have to do is leave a review on our Apple Podcast. That's it. That's all you got to do. Leave a review on our Apple Podcast and you're instantly entered to win. And we're going to give away the jersey on Super Bowl Sunday. So that's when we'll do the drawing. Probably, I don't know, halftime or just before kickoff, something like that. So be sure to go leave us a review. We really appreciate it. Always be sure to smash the like button and download the episode as well. We got a couple of guys here that we'll close it down with. Been a long one and a good one here. Got Jamal Williams and Najee Harris. That puts us to RB12 and 13. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a good way to bookend things for part one here. Jamal Williams, I'm not going to go full five stars. I'm not going to go super Saiyan, but I think we'd regret not giving him at least a four. I'm going to go four. I'm not sure. Did he wind up leading the NFL in rushing? He did. 17 total rushing touchdowns this season.
Do you know what
Derrick
his odds
Henry's
were?
13
before the season.
Plus 7,000.
He was 150 to 1 to lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns. amazing. What an ultimate bet for people. I know, you know, shout out to Establish the Run. Evan Silva talks about how he made that bet at the beginning of the year. And, you know, I listen to a lot of people and I make a lot of bets based off of other people's opinions sometimes. That's one I really regret not getting on, because that's a fucking killer of a bet, right? 150-1. It's not every day you hit one of those. So, you know, shout out to them. But yeah, that's crazy, crazy odds that came through. And again, I mean, you saw what this offense was and how it happened, right? Like, Jamal Williams, awesome. You know, great for him. Overall, cool dude, man. What an awesome guy to watch. Like, you never know what the hell he's going to say and talk about. It's just, it's always incredible.
Dude, yeah, the finish to that Packers game, that interview about, you know, he, like, every single emotion in the human condition was expressed, like, in that interview. It was so great, like, how he went from, like, crying and being, you know, remiss that, you know, he's lost his grandfather, and then just kind of, like, you know, being excited because, you know, he played this well for him. And then he starts getting that dog back at him. Sorry, don't be dogging us. We the Detroit Lions. I heard everyone was picking the Packers. Like, it was great, dude. I was loving it. Absolutely. I mean, that's just a good football player, right? Like, great positive attitude. You know, you see that, like, the kind of like the hard work kind of like rise up, and just the fact that he wasn't going to be like a high profile guy. Took advantage of literally every single touch and opportunity this season. I'm going to go 4 stars. I mean, from a fantasy perspective, yeah, there were bad weeks, but this guy was undrafted. You were picking him up off of waivers. Like, don't sit, like, yeah, there was maybe some people like that, some high profile, high stakes gamblers, but no one was in on this guy. He was a waiver wire, week one waiver wire stud. You know, he was the guy that if you emptied a little bit of that bag early on, it definitely paid off, because obviously he led the league in rushing touchdowns. Wasn't necessarily a home run in the fantasy playoffs weeks 15 and 16. He was a complete dud, but he did close it down in week 17 in the championship with 144 yard rushing game and a rushing touchdown. I'm going 4 stars. I don't know what to really expect going forward. I have to just continue to believe that DeAndre Swift will have a role in this offense, a more reliable role. But I'm going to guess that they are going to be the tandem moving forward right now, at least for next season, with the Lions. I don't see that room shifting whatsoever.
Yeah. 6 running back 1 weeks for him. Not including week 18, which he was the overall RB1.
Eat your heart out, Aaron Jones.
That's right. So, yeah, I mean, definitely 4 stars for me as well. Great of draft value, right? Great value at his ADP of undrafted. Whoa. I mean, just absolutely fantastic. So
I had him on a couple underdog teams, but it was not in the purpose of, oh, here's a dude. It was just stacking up on the backups. Like, this Swift has gone down before. He could go down again. This guy could just, you know, get touches. That's it. That was the only thought there. So, like, I had somewhere it was like Breece Hall, Jamal Williams, Austin Eckler, Josh Jacobs. Like, those teams were the money makers for me as far as like running backs go.
Yeah. And shout out to our colleague Emerson Beery. I mean, he had, you know, when him and I were on the underdog show throughout the summer, this is somebody that he mentioned to me that he liked at the end of drafts. And, you know, I took his advice and definitely drafted a little bit more of Jamal Williams than I had been. And, you know, Jamal Williams just was, he was fun to watch. He was awesome. You know, he obviously did very well for you. He did have some weeks, though, that, you know, you're probably started him that he did not do very well. You know, it was just the Lions were one of those teams that were hard to figure out who they really wanted to feature that week at the running back position. You knew that he had the goal line work, which was what you could kind of hang your hat on. But again, like, you knew that he wasn't going to get a shit ton of work between the 20s, which he really didn't. You know, there was games he did, but a lot of them he just did not. So again, it's going to be a hard guy to draft next year, because are you going to fall into the, hey, he can do this again? Or are you going to play the safe side of, you know what, that was a fluke, I'm going to just let other people draft him? I mean, this is a guy I'm going to be very interested to see where he goes.
That's probably the corner of the room that I'm going to stack up in. That's, you know, leave him be.
Anomaly.
Awesome stuff. Big fan. Love to see it, but no thanks.
Yeah.
I'm good. 4 stars. Did you give him a rating? I didn't catch.
Yeah, I also said 4 stars. Yep.
There you go. Good stuff. All right, last guy up here, we're going to go with Najee Harris. Interesting player from this season. He did not perform well to his ADP. People were drafting him as a top 5 running back based on last year's, you know, season. He had a ton of catches playing with Ben Roethlisberger, who was just throwing the ball a crazy amount, but He actually was fifth in the league in total rushing attempts this season and finished with 1,200 all-purpose yards, just 41 catches. I'm not sure what the total was last year. You might have that. But he also had double-digit touchdowns. He had 7 rushing and 3 receiving. I actually coughed up a first-round pick. It'll be a late first for him at the trade deadline in one of my dynasty leagues. I think I'm feeling pretty good about that. Like, I feel like this offense is going to continue to get better. I'm going to give him a 3.5-star rating for the season because, again, he didn't live up to his ADP, but I'm liking what I saw down the stretch of the season and just kind of what I'm feeling the turnaround will be like this upcoming season. Like, Kenny Pickett will be in the offense another year, be more familiar with the playbook. This was a grinded out team the second half of the season. Obviously, they started off, they were losing, they were not competing. Did they finish over 500 or was it 9-8?
Oh my God. That's a good question. Let's see. Game.
I thought
log.
They got over the hump.
Let's see. So they were 1-4, 2-4, 2-5, 2-6, 3-6, 3-7, 4-7, 5-7, 5-8. 6-8, 7-8, 8-8. Yeah, 9-8.
Yeah, 9-8. Yeah. That was Andrew live. Go
that's
right.
The
record of the Steelers.
Behind the scenes, baby.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, like they are a grinded out type of team. That was the whole point I was getting to there. Like, they finished the season strong. He finished the year strong. Like, I'm feeling pretty good about him. I would like to give him a higher grade, but again, based on his ADP, like, you know, he still let us down, but you know, complete turnaround at the quarterback position, you know, not in a new offense by any means, but you're, you know, I don't know what Matt Canada is doing up there, but you know, it's a different vibe. You know, they got to move on from Big Ben still. And like I said, I'm thinking that next season, this offense will take a step forward and he could be a guy that, you know, he finishes what running back 13 on the season, but he's a guy that I feel like could get back into that top five conversation next year.
Yeah, I think he feels like a volume guy. If he gets the volume, he'll get there again. Mm-hmm. You know, his volume was a little bit down this year from last year. He was very similar for stat-wise, you know, a little less this year than the previous year, but, you know, pretty close to the same. So, you know, you kind of hit on it based off of where he was drafted. He didn't live up to the hype, but he also didn't kill you. I mean, you know, there was a couple weeks that it was real bad. But
early on, he put you in a big hole. Like,
yes,
early, correct. Like early in the season, like he caused you some problems.
He was the opposite of Nick Chubb.
exactly. But even like so, even at the back end of the season, like he still, in my opinion, wasn't Nick Chubb. Like, yeah, he was doing good things, but most of his production at the back end of the year was just getting in the end zone. So just like finding pay dirt, there wasn't like any big like explosive weeks. I felt like.
Yeah, he did only have 2 RB1 finishes throughout the year. Not great, Bob. But again, you know, usage was decent. I feel, you know, if you look at what the team did beginning of the year versus end of the year, I feel like he obviously had a better game script towards the end of the year. You know, they were winning more games. They were leading games. You know, that yeah. obviously helps a running back and especially a running back of his style. So, I think next year we kind of need to look at that too, of where do we think the Steelers are going to be? You know, are they going to be winning games or not? If not, maybe drop him down a little bit, but overall, you know, he was okay. I'm going to give him a 3, just okay. Solid 3. He's about average for me. You know, that's okay. But I think there's better things on the horizon for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree as well. I'm excited about this upcoming season for the Steelers. Should be interesting to see what they do. Obviously they moved on from Claypool, so we're going to see Pickens come up. I'm interested to see if maybe, you know, they draft another receiver. When the Steelers draft a receiver, you know, your ears are going to perk up. And Calvin Austin there too. I'm interested to see what he could do potentially in year 2. I think he actually wound up getting hurt, but he was having a decent preseason before that. So we'll see what happens for him in year 2. But yeah, Najee Harris, I give him a 3.5. Andrew gave him a 3. So pretty similar there. Not quite what we wanted. Not quite what we wanted this season, but he didn't completely bury us like we said. So, all right, we are going to head out for the night. That was a long one and a good one. Like we said, you got anything to share with the folks before we go?
Oh man, just a lot of stuff coming out on the website. If you have not checked out the website yet, please do go to the fantasy football tab. Lots of stuff coming out. You know, I'll have an underdog. If anybody's playing in the underdog big games, you know, there's there's like four underdog drafts out right now for the Super Bowl. You know, make sure you look at them as well, because there are obviously different entry fees. They're full PPR now. That's different than, you know, throughout the year. It's usually half PPR. As well as there's double ups and triple ups as well. So make sure you're looking at the format so you understand what you're doing and how the payouts and structuring is working for each individual tournament. But, you know, I'll have an article coming out for the big bowl game, one that's the $5, you know, I think it's like 113,000 entries into that. You know, there's a lot of fun stuff coming out, you know, for underdog. And, you know, so make sure you check out the website. Get on the Discord. We say this all the time. If you guys want to be degenerates and talk about fantasy football and gambling with us, please hop in the Discord. You know, get at us. Start chiming in. Put your own opinions in there. It's a lot of fun. So, you know, just to hit on the Ken Walker thing one more time, make sure you guys are reviewing. You know, leave us a review. A 5-star review would be awesome. And, you know, feel free to hit us up on Twitter as well. If you guys have any questions about anything, you know, we don't bite very hard. So, you know, make sure you hit us up and, feel free to ask away.
Stay out of my DMs. Don't bother me.
My DMs are open. It's cool.
No, you can hit me up anytime. You can find me on the Twitter machine at SGPNJB. He's at ARob23. Take care. Be well. Be good. And if you can't be good, be good at it. We'll see you.